This morning, our reader is Kellyanne Georgie, who's reading our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. The last couple verses that Kellyanne read from Matthew 11 are some of the most beautiful and comforting words in Scripture. It's Jesus talking, and he says, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So who is it that Jesus is talking to? Who is Jesus inviting to come and rest? Is he calling those who followed the biblical principles of victorious living? Is this invitation part of the reward given to those who've discovered how to live the abundant life? Maybe he's inviting those whose personal piety reflects their worthiness, people who deserve a little rest. Exactly who is Jesus talking to? And what does he mean? You know, there's an absolutely stunning parable that Jesus told found in Luke 18. It's stunning because the conclusion of the parable was so shocking to those listening to Jesus tell it. Some of you know this parable well, but I'll tell it again. Jesus told this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. It starts like this. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Society in first century Israel was different than our society. Israel was an occupied nation, occupied by the Romans and ruled from afar by Caesar. For the most part, Rome set the rules and the Roman military enforced them in Israel, and the Jewish people were obligated to obey. Because Rome controlled Israel politically, the only real opportunity for leadership among the Jews was leadership in the religious community. Practically all Jews participated in the religious life of ancient Israel, and there was a very structured hierarchy and social order. There were people who were respected in that society, and there were people who were loathed in that society. The people at the top of the social order, the people universally respected, were the Pharisees. Pharisees were a Jewish sect whose members were very well educated and had a reputation for being devoutly religious. Members of the Pharisee sect dominated the leadership positions in the temple in Jerusalem and also in the local synagogues found in every town throughout the nation of Israel. Pharisees were looked up to, they were respected and held in high regard by everyone. On the opposite end of the social order, at least in terms of respect, were the tax collectors. These were Jewish men who were employed by the hated occupying Romans to collect taxes from their fellow Jews, giving the money to the Romans. As if that weren't bad enough already, tax collectors almost universally collected more money than was owed and kept the excess for themselves. So not only were they traitors, they were criminals and considered thoroughly irreligious. Tax collectors were hated by their fellow Jews for good reason. So back to this parable. A highly respected Pharisee and a deeply hated tax collector went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee prayed like this, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or especially that I'm not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get." End of prayer. By the way, everything the Pharisee said was true. He did fast and tithe and even appeared to keep the law of God. Then in the parable, it was the tax collector's turn to pray, the man who is loathed, the man hated by everyone for good reason. In the parable, it says the tax collector stood far from the altar in the temple and wouldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven. But beating his breast in an expression of contrition, he prayed, "God have mercy on me, a sinner." End of prayer. Like the Pharisee, the tax collector also told the truth. Here's the really shocking part. Jesus turned to the crowd who surrounded him as he told this parable, and he said, "I tell you the truth. It was the hated tax collector, not the esteemed Pharisee, who went home justified." Justified is a legal term. It's a declaration. It means he who was determined guilty is now declared innocent. He who was rightfully convicted is now exonerated. He who was sentenced to death is now freed to go home and live and laugh and rest. Justified is the term used to describe those who are going to heaven, those who've been forgiven, their sin covered up and hidden by the righteous robes that Christ has wrapped around them. They've received the actual righteousness of Jesus. It's been imputed to them, credited to them. And the reason this declaration by Jesus is so shocking is that the tax collector is the last person anyone would expect to receive such a gift from God. He wasn't following any biblical principles for victorious living, and his personal piety was non-existent. He was clearly, absolutely unworthy of this gift. But in the parable, he's the one who's justified. He's the one exonerated. His record has been wiped clean. He's forgiven and continues to be forgiven. And he's going to heaven. The despised tax collector, the most blatant sinner, not the esteemed Pharisee. So, when Jesus invites all who labor and are heavy laden to come to him and receive rest, who is he talking to? He's talking to you, who, like the tax collector, recognize your own sinfulness. He's not talking to the self-righteous Pharisees who have life figured out. He's talking to you and me, who don't have it figured out. He's talking to you who are afraid of dying, you who question your standing with God. He's talking to you who are reaping the consequences of your own bad decisions. He's talking to you who are so weighed down with grief that the pain is indescribable. He's talking to you who want to turn back the hands of time, but can't. He's talking to you who fear the future and the futures of your children. He's talking to you whose marriages are falling apart, who are estranged from your families and friends. You who are anger and bitter, you who are addicted, you who are riddled with doubt. Jesus is speaking not to the sinless, but to the sinful. Not to the perfect, but to the imperfect. He's speaking to the victims of tragedies and the perpetrators of crimes. He's speaking not to the worthy, but to the unworthy. He's speaking to you and me. Because Jesus was sent to not condemn the world, but to save the world, to save you. So he invites you. Come to me. Cry out to me. All of you. All of you who labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest and peace and hope. Amen.